All right. Sorry, a little late. Had a meeting, but figured you would use the time for study anyway. But all right. Well, hey, let's have a word of prayer. We'll let you take your quiz. We'll go through your quiz very quickly. And most of this is true and false. Fill in the blank. And shouldn't take you long. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the fact that we can trust you in all areas of our lives. We thank you that when we lack wisdom, that we can find that wisdom through you and your word. And Lord, I thank you for your indwelling Holy Spirit and how he empowers us to live the Christian life. We are thankful for the many, many things that we have in this grace age. And I pray that we would really be thankful, Lord God, that we would not just take all these things for granted. And but Father, I pray that we would live our lives out of thankfulness for all that you've done for us. And we just pray that you would help everyone as they take their quiz now. We pray for your blessing on our class time today as we talk about the grace age. And again, Father, I pray that it would really be a special blessing to all of us. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing, put your name and box number on your paper. It's always interesting just to watch how people pass the time while they're waiting for everybody to finish. It's actually quite entertaining from this vantage point right here. And anyway, let's go through this. You can grade your own paper. As our other quizzes go, it doesn't have to be the exact same wording as long as it means the same thing. If your answer means the same thing, then it's okay. All right? Number one, what are the stones of the building? You could either put Christians or the church. It's us. And believers is fine. Saints, children of God. Two, to Israel, Jesus was the foundation stone or chief cornerstone. That's false. Stumbling stone. Three, the stones of the building are to be independent of each other. False. Number four, who is the high priest? In the high priest in the kingdom of priests figure, Jesus is. The two Old Testament priests who typify this high priest, Aaron and Melchizedek. Six, as a priest, what three services do we have during this age? The sacrifice of life or our lives, worship, and intercession. That would be fine. Number seven, from our notes, give three ways to offer the sacrifice of worship to God. We talked about several. If you put more than three, then you can put a little plus next to that. But yielding our bodies, offering praise to God, doing good, sharing, study of God's Word, those are the ones that we discussed. Number eight, the two warnings or prohibitions that were given to priests in connection with worship, strange incense and fire. We're warned about that. Number nine, the three features in relation to the body. The members of the body are appointed to specific service. Anything that would go along with that is fine. The body of Jesus Christ is one body, and the church is a self-developing body. Jesus is the head of the body. Number 11, the church will be a co-share, with Christ in his reign. True. Jesus' resurrection proved he was God. True. 13, his resurrection assures the resurrection of believers. True. 14, he was resurrected to fulfill Bible prophecy. True. 15, the new creation produces changes that take place on heaven, or on earth and heaven. That's true. 16, what are the three benefits of the church's final transformation? First one, we'll be free from the sin nature. Second, we will have a heavenly citizenship. Third, we'll have a transformed body. 17. The Mosaic Sabbath was given to Adam and Eve on Mount Sinai. That is false. 18. It reminds me of the test question, how many days was Moses on the ark? 18. The Sabbath day was kept by the early church until the day was changed by Emperor Constantine in AD 321. That's false. 19. The Sabbath day commandment is missing in the epistles. True. 20. The Lord's day typifies unmerited grace. 21. The Mosaic law came to an end at the death of Christ. True. 22. All Sabbaths mentioned in the Bible were on Saturday. That's false. 23. The Sabbath was a day of intense activity. False. 24. The Ten Commandments were not nailed to the cross. False. 25. The Mosaic Sabbath was a sign between Israel and God. 26. Christians who do not keep the Sabbath have the mark of the beast. That's false. There's some that believe that, but that's false. The two women we studied who are types of the church as a bride is Eve and Rebecca. And then, pardon? 28, Israel is viewed by God as an unfaithful wife, but the church is viewed by him as the virgin bride. That's true. 1 through 4, each one of those are worth 1 point. Number 5 is worth 2 points. If you miss one of those, then just put -1. Number 6 is worth 3 points. Number 7 is worth 3 points. 8 is worth 1. So if you miss one of those, it's a half off. 9 is worth 3 points. 10 is worth, 10 through 15 are worth 1. 16 is worth 3. 17 through 26 are all worth 1. 27 is worth 2. 28 is worth 1. So you can put the number wrong at the top of the page. If you got them all right, then, hey, put -0. That was pretty good. It landed just perfect. Yes. Pardon?
On number 12, other people rose from the dead besides Jesus.
Yep.
That doesn't prove that they
They were resurrected, like Christ's resurrection, he was never to die again. There were people who were restored to life. But Christ was resurrected to never die again. But it showed that he had power over the grave. Okay? So. All right. You can pass those forward. All right. If you please turn to 44. Page 44 in your notes. We started talking about the present grace age time period. We got, as far as I can remember, to that middle paragraph. Am I correct? What was the last blank that you had? And I could be wrong. Just first paragraph. So you have power and legalism as the blanks? Okay, so we haven't started the grace age. Okay. All right. I for some reason thought that we had, but we haven't. And so we've looked at the time before with the pre-Mosaic time period. We've looked at and we don't know all the ways things work there. There were some things that Adam and Eve were told to do or not do. We looked at the Mosaic time period, the time period of the law, and how was a person blessed during that time period? Obedience. And if somebody didn't obey, what was the result? Death or punishment. And that's just how life was under the law. We looked at the kingdom period. And what were the two words that kind of would describe the kingdom period? Peace and righteousness. Peace and righteousness. What about the Mosaic time period? What would be two key words that we discussed? Obedience and the law. The law and obedience. We talked about this present age. It's what would be one of the key words? Grace and believe. Grace and believe. And we discussed the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? Somebody want to take without reading your notes, anybody remember what the kingdom of heaven was? Right. Christ's rule on earth. It's Christ's kingdom coming down to earth. What is the kingdom of God? Everything. His total rule throughout the universe. And so we've taken a look at some of these different things, and we're going to move on to the present grace age. And who would like to read that that first paragraph there?
Believers of this age experience many wonderful and unique blessings from God by His grace.
Okay, stop right there. Give me some of those. Salvation. Pardon? Okay, a power to live the Christian life. That's very unique. What else? Been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Somebody up here. I didn't. Indwelling Holy Spirit. Good. Anybody else? Okay, very close personal relationship, heavenly citizenship, children of God, part of the royal family. Boy, we have so many different blessings. Okay, keep going.
This grace not only provides salvation, but it also gives believers the
power
to live the Christian life. It is sad that so many churches throughout this age have moved away from the New Testament teachings on grace and moved towards legalism.
Okay, that last blank is legalism. And that started early on in church history. Just think of the different letters that Paul wrote, like Colossians and Galatians, because these folks were moving back under the law. They kept wanting to go back underneath that. And Paul says, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't put yourself under that. You're not under that any longer. Says the things God asks of us in this time period are not requirements to be accepted by God. And I'd like us to turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Somebody want to read that for us, please?
There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Okay.
According to the flesh, according to the Spirit.
Okay, good. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We've been accepted. Go to verse 33. Verse 33. And it says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Verses 38 and 39 says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're already accepted by God. And there's nothing that's going to change that. This is pretty cool. It says, but there are appeals to individuals who are already accepted by God. We've already talked about Romans 12:1, but I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Because we've been accepted, because of the mercies of God, here's how we ought to live life. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Some of you look a little out of it this morning. I don't know what you're thinking about, but some of you, you can see it. What do you get back with us here? I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Because of what we have in Christ, walk worthy of that. That's the whole idea of this. It says we respond to these appeals out of love for God and our gratitude for God's wonderful grace. Romans 12:1, We don't yield our lives because we have to. It's because we should want to, in light of everything that's been done for us. It says this grace cannot be repaid, deserved, or lost. It's grace. Unmerited. Even if we fail, even if we blow it big time, we're still accepted by God. I remember talking to a young man at Camp Lutana, and we were speaking on Jonah that week, looking at all the ways that Jonah had blown it. And I realize it's the Old Testament, but one of the applications that we made through the week was about God's love. God's love. And there was another speaker that talked in the mornings, and he was talking about God's love. God's love. And that God loves us no matter what, as His children. This kid comes up to me and he says, I think God's really been trying to get my attention this week. He said, this last year at school, I really blew it. I didn't walk with God. And he said, honestly, I've been wondering if God had given up on me, if God doesn't love me anymore. And he said, this week, it's been very clear that God does love His children. And obedience is not so that we can be blessed. It's because we are blessed. It's an attitude of gratitude. How many of you like the movie The Sound of Music? Okay. How many have never seen it before? Oh, my. You've never realized that the hills are alive with the sound of music. If you watch the movie, you'll go around singing the songs for the rest of the week. It's kind of what happens. But I'm going to spoil the movie for you for a little bit, if you haven't seen it. Basically, it's about a guy named George Von Trapp. He's a very wealthy individual. His wife passes away. How many kids did he have? Seven kids. And so he hires this gal to come and help him with his children. Her name is Maria. And early on, their relationship is not very good. He is a drill sergeant. And that's how he treats his kids, like they're in the military and so on. Anyway, they have their battles. But in the midst of the battles, they start to have feelings for each other. And so in the wintertime, they go out in the snow and they make snow angels. You know, just kidding, that's not part of the movie, but if it was a Hallmark movie, that's what they would do. And so eventually, they get married. They're one. Things have changed. Now what's interesting is she continues to do a lot of the things that she did while she was the employee. But now things have changed. Now she is motivated by love for her husband. And it's kind of interesting. I was reading the Grace Journal and they had this article in there and I thought, boy, this really fits this section of our studies here. Of doing things out of love And not out of, I have to do this. It's my job. Totally different mentality. And so, this is what the grace age is all about. Now, as we get down to the bottom here, it says some erroneously believe that life under grace is freedom to live however you want. People say, well, I'm under grace, and so it doesn't matter what I do. Well, that's not what the Bible says, but there's a name for this. You don't have to write it down. Antinomianism. And that's a belief system that there's no rules, there's no expectations in the grace age. I was reading an article that was talking about the high divorce rate in the Bible Belt of the United States. And basically, the article is talking about why would it be that way when the Bible says so much about divorce? Why would it be so high in what we would call the Bible Belt? And the conclusion of the article was this, is people that have bought into this thinking that there's no expectations in the grace age. We can just do whatever we want. My best friend that I served with at Santa Rosa Bible Church got into pornography. He was the Christian education director at the church. And pretty soon I find out that he is divorcing his wife. And before he was divorced, I'd heard something that he had an account on a singles website. And sure enough, I found the website, and here is this guy. He was on the front page of it. So I got a hold of him, and I said, you know, it's a crazy thing. I went on a website, and there's somebody that looked just like you. And I said, I thought, well, it can't be, because the person that I know is faithful to his wife and wants to live his life for Christ. And so this can't be you. Well, I was being facetious, but I knew it was him. And I talked to him about what he was doing. And that night on Facebook, he put this, I believe in grace, not the law. That was his dig at me. And that's what he's saying is, you know what, I'm under grace, I can do whatever I want, and it doesn't matter. A number of years ago, we had a few students here at Frontier that read a book, and it's a great book. It's called The Grace Awakening, written by Charles Swindoll. And he's talking in the book about exactly what we are going through right here, the difference between law and grace and so on. But we had a couple of students that didn't really carefully read the whole book. And they came up with a conclusion, we can do whatever we want. We're under grace. I remember talking to one of them, and I said, well, what about the whole New Testament? Well, the Bible is very clear on how we should live, how we should treat each other, how husbands are to treat their wives, how wives are to treat their husbands, how children are to treat their parents, and vice versa, and how we're to treat people in the church, how we're to stay away from sin. How we're to live for God. We're to love people. We're to do the one another's. There are expectations. If you want to serve in church leadership, there's expectations. What about church, or what about church discipline? Why would you have church discipline if there's no expectations? No rules. Why does God say, whom the Lord loves, he chastens, if there's no expectations? Why does it grieve the Holy Spirit when we don't live as we should? So it's kind of like a pendulum that's, swings in a totally opposite direction. You have those that put themselves under the law, and then some that come out of that, they swing it the other way and say there's no commands, there's no expectations, we can live however we want. The Bible doesn't teach that either. It says in your notes, a Christian who does not live a Christ-honoring life is trashing the wonderful gift of new life and eternal life given through the death of Jesus Christ. They will also experience God's loving discipline, a loss of fellowship with God, a loss of reward in heaven, and a loss of power for life and service. There are expectations, but we do them because we love the Lord. We want to please Him. We want to live a Christ-like life. Charles Swindoll would have a coronary if he believed people were taking his teaching and saying you can live however you want. That's not what the book is about. It says this age is not the only dispensation where we see God's grace. Oh. Be gracious to me, you guys, because I've gone over. I need grace. Ask your next teacher to show grace on not only you, but me.